And I wanna share a little bit of a word with you this morning. And the title of this message is called Peace That Builds. Peace That Builds. Now this week, I'm kind of fessing up, and I'm sure a lot of you will maybe have know exactly what I mean, but I think I left my house one day this week without shedding my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And does anyone know what that feels like? You know, it's one thing, it's like leaving your house. You know, the last thing, when I leave home, the last thing I put on is my shoes. So heaven help me if I forget them. And then I leave the house. But it was almost as if, you know, in a spiritual sense, sometimes we can leave our homes partially clothed or without all of our armor. And we don't even realize it. If you were walking around Cowan and Main Street partially clothed, someone would soon tell you about it. But if you leave home in your spiritual makeup and in yourself, there's something that's not there, no one will know until you have an encounter with someone that might show that, hey, wait a minute, I've left my shoes of peace at home today. And I think that's what happened this week. And I'm not going into a lot of detail, but for the first time in a long, long time, I felt disturbed just by feelings of frustration and anger and all sorts of things. It was to do with a tradesman that was working in our locality. So words were had, if we could put it that way. Yes, I'm human. Words were had. We all sometimes have words. So words had to have been had. But I felt so terrible about it. And I wear this on my wrist. You know, if some of you will know what this is. It's my trusty Garmin, and it tells me what my heart rate is. I didn't even bother looking back to see what my heart rate was during that time. But I know that my everything would have been elevated. And I left afterwards, and I spoke to Linda, and I says, you know, and Linda actually said, you know, after that you feel discombobulated. It's a good word. You feel totally at unease. And your rest is gone. It's like, where did that come from? Just over a few words, you know, that could have been avoided. So anyway, I'm still learning lessons. And so I want to talk about peace that builds this morning. Peace is important. The crux of this message is that when there's unrest, where there's a lack of peace, it's difficult to build. And when there's peace, it's a time to build. In 1 Chronicles 22, from verse 6, it says, David called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you've shed much blood and you've made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name will be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Amen. What a powerful passage of scripture, showing this transition from this warlike king, David, and don't forget, a man after God's own heart, to Solomon, whose actual name means shalom. It's a derivative of shalom, peace, Solomon. And so you have this rest that God gives to Solomon. And because of Solomon, everyone gets to enjoy the rest. Everyone gets to enjoy peace. And, you know, an ease about life, resting. And these things, God, he just bestowed them onto Solomon. And we all know that shalom means so much. Shalom means completeness and wholeness. And it means, you know, things we sometimes say, nothing missing, nothing broken. We say all these different things about shalom and prosperity, mind, body, and soul, all of these things. And so we see that God has blessed Solomon with all of these things. And he has this covenant of peace with Solomon, a covenant of rest. And as long as Solomon stayed connected to that covenant and faithful to it, he enjoyed rest and peace. Amen. He had soundness in his life, completeness in his life. The nation had safety. They had peace. The place was tranquil. Amen. And, you know, there's a huge price has been paid for our peace. A huge price. Jesus' own life was given for our peace. Isaiah 53 says that he was pierced through his hands, his side, his feet. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was pierced through for our sinful nature that we're born with. He was crushed for our iniquities. Can you, if you've ever seen anyone, if you've ever seen a crushing injury, it's one of the most horrific injuries you'll ever see. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening for our well-being, or the chastening for our peace, fell onto Jesus. It went onto his, he took it on his shoulders, and then that ends in that beautiful scripture. And by his stripes, we have been healed. By him being scourged, we were healed. Amen? So there's a tremendous price paid for our peace. And so, you know, over the years, I'm sure many of you, you read God's word and you say, wow, there's so much war in the Bible. There's so many battles. There's so many warriors. And wars are won or lost, or peace is made. But we all know wars, they bring disturbance into our lives. Amen? And so here we go. We had David, the warrior king. He'd like only known battle. Since he took that sling and he put Goliath down until the end of his days, he was a warring king. All of his days, the only time he got a little bit of rest was in between wars. Can anyone relate to that? The only time I get rest is in between. When's the next battle coming? So in the times in between wars, David would regroup. And he would write, okay, it's time to go again. And so through his reign, eventually peace was established, and he was ready to hand a kingdom of peace over to his son, Solomon, all right? And so the season of war had passed, and the season of peace had come, amen? You know, it's interesting to know, if you go back to Chronicles, that God chose Solomon to build his house, a place where his name could be. It's Solomon, a different leader for a different time. They needed David. They needed King David, but it was a different time, so they got a different leader. They got Solomon, amen? And that doesn't mean to say that God thought any less of David. There was never a Hebrew king like David. He was, when the word says he was like a man after God's own heart, and you think, well, how can that possibly be? He committed adultery. He sent the woman's husband to the front lines to be killed, and he schemed and he did all of this. Yet God said, David was a man after my own heart, because David was quick to repent, and he knew where he stood with God, and he was a worshiper. Nothing stopped him from giving God first place in his life. He came back to God I don't think he ever left God for long. He had kept a short account. That's a good word for us as Christians. Keep a short account with God, because when you let your account go into arrears by a long time, It's like, oh, I don't want to visit that. I don't want to go back there and try and sort this out. Have you ever found that sometimes when you let things go on, you know, eventually they'll forget about it. Or eventually, oh, you know, something, they'll write it off. God remembers. God remembers. And so he wants us to keep a short account with him. Amen. And so all of these wars kind of prevented what God really wanted to build. All of this warring going on all the time. So it was time to move. You remember what David set up? The tent of meeting. It was time to go from a tent to a temple. It was time for a place to be built for God's presence to be. Amen. And so God's word tells us that there's a time to build. Okay. So now I'd like to ask Liam. Liam's going to read some scripture for us. And Liam, will you come? Come read for us. Liam's going to read Ecclesiastes 3. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. So we're from there all the way to there. All right, take your time.
To everything there is a season, a time of every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well done. Amen. Thank you, Liam. Appreciate that. You know, sometimes we get a different... The delivery boy makes all the difference, and I thought Liam would be ideal for that this morning. Amen. Amen. Signs of things to come. Hallelujah. Everything has a fitting time. What time are you in this morning? What time are we in as a church? What time? You know, in church life and in personal life, struggles come. A time of struggles come. It was no different in the early church. The church was thriving. The church was on fire. But the enemy wanted to try and get in. Enemy wanted to try and establish a fifth column within the church so that he could overturn things. Amen. Satan has got designs on the church. He is crafty. He wants to divide and destroy. And internal warfare weakens the church. And so we have to be always vigilant because the enemy is out there seeking whom he can devour, what he can overturn, what he can overthrow, what he can spoil, what he can corrupt. Amen. And we need peace to build. And if Satan can keep the church in perpetual strife, if he can keep your life in perpetual strife, then building doesn't get done at any pace at all. If he can keep us in that place, we're always ducking for cover. There's flak coming. It's like, take cover. And it's like that, you know, have you ever had a week like that where it's been one thing after another? Yesterday morning, we didn't have heating at the heat hub. And then last night, by the grace of God, I came here to do something, and our heating wasn't working. So, you know, it's like one thing after another. But you know what? You keep on going. You keep on going. Amen. Satan wants to suppress the desire to build that's in your heart. Has anyone here got a desire to build? I know there's at least one lady here that I had a chat with yesterday that wants to build, that wants to expand, that wants to increase. I'm sure that's in your heart, amen. He just wants to hinder or even stop the building of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God will go forth and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. peace. But God establishes peace and harmony, just like with Solomon. After war comes peace. And when peacetime comes, we've got to be prepared to build. We've got to be prepared to turn our dreams into substance. Got to be prepared to take the desires that you've had and turn them into something real. Amen? And in peacetime, you can do more. You know, if it takes 10 years during the war to achieve something, in peacetime, you can achieve it in 1 year. You know? And so this is ability that God gives us as the church to multiply our efforts during peacetime. Pastor Tom preached an amazing message earlier this year, maybe last year. If you go into Sydney Life Church, he preached a message called The Emergence of the Peaceful Church. Very powerful. Even when we look outside our walls and we see what's going on in the world, do you know what will be the hallmark of the church will be peace. We'll be at peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We'll be at peace. This will be the hallmark of the church, amen? And so, you know, no matter what conflict is going on out there, no matter if it's personal conflict, family conflict, church conflict, doesn't matter. We can have peace. And we can get those things out of the way. If anyone's interested in history, in the post-war era, Japan, a tiny nation, became one of the most productive nations in the world during peacetime. They were like completely on the cutting edge of engineering and technology, and they were like pushed right in. They were leaders, still are leaders in the world. Amen. So when there's wartime, what's your focus on when you're fighting every day? Survival. Defending yourself. Strategizing, thinking, what am I going to do if, and of course, in a sense, we do that every day because we fight the fight of faith. But if you've got this constant conflict all the time, you're like, I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to get my family to establish a future for them, all of these different things. And because we think, you know what? If I do try and do anything just now, it's only going to get bombed or torn down or pillaged or whatever. So what's the point? But God wants to give us peace to build in. And people like to see things being built. Is there anyone here that likes to see things being built? It's good to see things being built. It's good to see things built. The church grows during building times, not during battling times. So we're in a building time. Amen. We've had a battling time. We had a battling time. In the past, we had a battle. The church is now in a building phase. The church is a building. Amen? Are you still around? The church is in a building phase. And I trust that your lives will follow suit. Amen? So we have to contend for peace. You know, sometimes peace just doesn't happen. We have to gain it. We have to obtain it. We have to contend for peace. And when we get that peace, it allows for everything to begin to flow. Your creativity, the cooperation between one another, productivity. Amen? You know, we'll not always escape seasons of battle or onslaught, but we know because there's wolves out there. Amen? So we have to be on the lookout for deception and for wolves that are out there. Paul warned the church, don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Amen? But we can build. Solomon, in that time of peace, something happened with Solomon. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. He wrote 1,000. In fact, you read the word here in 1 Kings 4:29. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding, and listen to this, a largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men, including all those guys there. He was wiser than all of them, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, praised him. his songs were 1,005. 1,005 songs. Here we come. His songs were 1,005. He also spoke of trees, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke of animals, birds, creeping things, and a fish, of men of all nations and of all the kings who had heard of it. Can you just imagine this man, just like a gusher of creativity? Why? God says, you will have rest. You'll have my peace. And this will all just begin to flow out of you, so that even people came from far away. Can you imagine? I'm coming, chapping at your door. I've heard that you've got peace, and I just want to be a part of that. Amen. I've heard that this church has peace. I want to be with you. I want to be in a church that has peace. For heaven's sake. Yeah. Peace for heaven's sake. Yeah, peace. Peace. Isaac enjoyed peace too. Isaac was met with resistance. His father had dug wells in the desert. Isaac says, I'm going to go and I'm going to unblock all my dad's wells. And every well he went to, the Philistines came against him and they spoiled it. So every time he was moved on, I can't do this here, he would name the place whatever the conflict was. So got hit by stones place, or, you know, got kicked out of here place, or whatever it was that came against him, until he got to a place called Rehoboth, where he was eventually left in peace, and he had rest, and he unblocked the well, and he called that place Rehoboth, amen? And that place was a place where he wasn't resisted. It was the place where God said, this is the place where you're going to have peace and rest. Rehoboth means a place that God makes room for you. So God is going to make room for you. A place of peace. Amen? A place of peace. For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. That's the scripture. When the Lord makes room for you, you begin to be fruitful. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm nearly done with this lesson. I just said lesson, didn't I? That was the wrong choice of words. I'm nearly done with this sermon, although it's been a lesson to me. It's been a lesson to me even going, preparing this. Amen. Rest produces creativity. Unrest produces division. Amen. What happens when you're divided? The Bible says in Amos, unless two people agree with one another, they cannot walk together. So when you're divided, you can't work together. In fact, you can't even spend this time together in the same room. So the devil has a way of sowing seeds of unrest, because unrest brings division. Amen. Unrest produces discord among people. And if the team got up here this morning and Izzy was off in E flat and everyone else was playing in G, you'd be like, what on earth is she doing? That is so discordant. That is, oh my, get into the right key. I hope my singing didn't put you off. And then, and so, but this is what it is. When we come together, we become like one. It's the same chord. It's in harmony that we build together. Amen. So I'm encouraging you this morning, contribute, be a contributor to peace. Let calmness and gentleness work in your life. When you're on the scene, don't create a scene. You know, it's like, you know what they say about people's reputation? It always gets there before you do. Who's coming? Oh, let's go. When you're on the scene, don't create a scene. When you're on the, if someone says something that's incendiary, do you know what that means? It's just about to kick off. Instead of throwing petrol on it, instead of fanning the flames, speak peace. Bring it down. Bring it down. Amen. Extinguish it with peace. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's so much in this message, I believe. We're not all the same. God, it wouldn't be, life wouldn't, we're not all the same. We're different. But there's a oneness in Jesus Christ. We're not all the same. We're not all the same. Sometimes we don't speak the same language, but there is a language that's common to us all. And that's the language of the word, the language of love, the language that's the love language. It's Christ. That's the language. So the only time that we will experience disunity is when our differences become an issue. So that's why the word says, I must see Eleanor as Christ sees Eleanor. Anyway, it wouldn't matter anyway. I still love Eleanor. But, you know, we look at people through the eyes of Christ. You know, we can magnify differences if we want to. But let's compliment. Let us compliment one another. Amen? The differences only become an issue if they begin to cause discord. Amen? It was disunity. God said, Tower of Babel, no, you're not getting any higher. Languages, muddle them up, confuse them. From that moment on, they were separated because they could no longer speak the same language. We, the church of the living God, has to speak the same language. The same language, amen? We have to speak the same language in our married life, if not always agreed on everything. Amen? But successful marriages, and I know there's a lot of people here a lot older in their marriages than we are. Successful marriages are not successful because there's not disagreements. It's because agreement has been found somewhere. So disagreements come. Disagreements come, but we find agreement. Amen? So, and that's why our marriages thrive. And because being together and being one and being unity is a choice. You make a choice. You make a choice. Amen? To bear and forbear. Then you can stay married for a long, long time. And I know that life has not been kind to people in that sense, and I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying that everything we do, I'm marrying my nephew in December, and we're speaking to them just now, and everything is in light of there was a covenant between God and his people, like a marriage. Yes. And it's the same thing with us. When on the first Sunday of the month, what do? We cut covenant with one another. We remember, we come around the communion table to do that. Amen. So I'm praying for peace. We pray for peace for you, and it's like, well, I know a lot of Christians, and they ain't at peace. Where does peace come from? The Bible tells us. Isaiah 32:17, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. Now, can you read the next line there? Its effect will be quietness. And the fruit of righteousness is peace. Why have I got no peace? Well, maybe because there's some things that are not quite right. Why have I got no quiet? Why is there no rest? Why is there no quietness in my life? Well, maybe we go back and I look at my fruit. What are my fruits? Amen? The fruit of doing right, if you wanted to take it this way, the fruit of doing right will be peace. So if we do what is right in God's eyes, we will have peace. Amen? And we will have shalom. And we will be able to have confidence in him. Amen? So if peace is beginning to, or it has dwindled away in your life, then be diligent. Be diligent. Remember your born-again day. Can I see all the born-again people here? Remember your born-again day. Remember that in that day, he says, you have my peace. Remember back to that day. It was like, whoa, I've never felt like this before. This is great. And it can dwindle away. But God freely gave us his peace then. So here's the last scripture, Isaiah 48, verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way that you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. Your well-being would have been like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand. Your children like numberless grains. Their name would never be blotted out nor destroyed from before me. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to have peace. We're going to contend for peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For future content, please subscribe. And if anything spoke to you or was relevant to you, please leave a comment. If you want to find out more about the church, how to support the ministry, or connect with us, then go to bridge-church.com. So until next time, thank you for joining us and goodbye.